Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for your love never fails, your love never gives up, oh God. It never runs out on us, oh God, in spite of our foolishness, in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of all the doubt and fear that engulfs us, oh God. But you, oh God, operate on a different standard. When we are so grateful for that standard of grace and mercy, oh God. Speak to us this evening, encourage us, strengthen us through your word. Let our ears hear what you have to say today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, we are in Matthew chapter 13. Pastor Paul led you through chapter 12. Thank you so much, Pastor Paul, for that. The gist of chapter 12. You remember? The Sabbath and all that, grain and all these guys coming and pointing fingers at him, talking about how he's breaking the Sabbath. He and his disciples do not fast on the Sabbath, you know. And he was saying, I am, in a nutshell, I am the master of the Sabbath. Hallelujah. If I had that, him saying that time, I would have fallen on my face, yes, prostrate on the ground, and I would have worshipped someone coming and claiming, I am the master of this. I am the master. Not only was he saying, I am the master of the Sabbath, he was saying, I am the master of the universe. I am the master of all things created. Hallelujah. You don't know who you have in your midst. Yeah? And they went on saying how, you know, all these things, they accused him of healing in the name of Beelzebub and all those things. And even told them, you people, basically was saying, you can say all the bad things you want to say about me, I forgive you. Yeah? But you cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. What a merciful God. I would have burnt all of them with fire if I was Jesus. Yeah? And I would make sure they don't die and they suffer every day. But isn't it amazing that we all deserve that kind of punishment? There is no difference between us and the Pharisees. Yes? Sometimes. Those guys were really vile, vile people. But we do not. When we don't hear what the word of God is saying, we are just like them. Hallelujah? There is no difference. Let us read from chapter 13, Matthew. Open your Bibles, open your gadgets. My key verse for today is from verse 9, which says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is my prayer for us today and every day, and it should be our prayer every day of our lives. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hallelujah. All right, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Which sea was this? It was the Sea of Galilee. Or maybe you could say the Sea of Tiberias. Yes? This was like his favorite sport. Yeah? And great multitudes, great numbers of people. When they talk about multitudes, they can't even number them. Yeah? They have very many. If you had to count them, you'd have to have a census. Yes? Right there and then to find out how many people were there. But not only one multitude, but great multitudes were gathered together to him. Amazing. So that he got into a boat and sat. Yeah? Remember, great multitudes. Yes? Great multitudes, many people. I'll come back to that later on. Yeah? Yes. And great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat. Yeah? He sat there by the water so they could hear him. I think he was also taking advantage of the acoustics of sound, the way sound waves move on water. Yeah? Do you remember your physics? Yeah? Sound is a very good conductor water is a very good conductor of sound. Did you know that? Maybe he was using the acoustics of the Sea of Galilee, I don't know, but he created physics. He created the Sea of Galilee. So who knows? And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Wow. They were standing. Yeah? They didn't have chairs. One thing about we Ugandans is that we love to sit. Not so. Yes? Ugandans love to sit. I've heard people say that we are the champions in, what's it called, sitting while dancing. Eh? You're sitting, but you're there. Have you seen people like that? You go for shows and whatever, concerts, everybody's sitting. Yeah? But people are dancing and they're sitting. But these guys were standing, multitudes. They were standing. So this is a good challenge for us Ugandans. Let's get used to standing for the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. What are parables? I remember the first time I heard about the word parables when I was a kid. I thought, my goodness, this is such a big word. What is our understanding of parables? Is it anything complicated? The way it sounds, parables. Some people can't even spell it. They're like, what? What is this? Parables, or the word parable, is simply means stories, simple stories used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. Yeah? That's what parables are. Yeah? Simple stories used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. For those who love vocabulary like me, a parable is a similitude. Huh? You can look up that word in the dictionary. A likeness. Yes? A likeness to a story. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. Sower, farmer, same thing, right? And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Verse 5, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, they were burnt, yes, they withered. And because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hallelujah. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Why did Jesus say this? Why do you think Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear? Have you ever wondered about that? How many of you have read this passage before? Yes? So, have you ever wondered why he said that? Yeah? I've always wondered why he said that. Because I knew all of them had two ears. Yes? Why was he saying that? It reminds me of when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I was a bit, not necessarily stubborn, but I remember many times I would listen, or I would listen to what my parents were saying because my ears work, right? But the response was the problem. You get what I'm saying? They speak, I'm listening. The response to what they're telling me was the problem. You need to have bathed by 7 o'clock was a problem. Yes? My mom would try to send me somewhere and I would refuse. Things like that. There are things they'd have to remind me about a million times. My children are like that. We have to keep reminding them. Say, pick your clothes off the floor. Why are your clothes on the floor? Can't you see your clothes on the floor? Now, their ears work, right? Yes? But are they really hearing? Yes? Are they really hearing what we, the parents, are telling them? And now I look back and I'm thinking, what was wrong with me? But it was simple. I just wanted to have my way. My mom was saying, do this. I didn't want to do that because at that moment I had my own program. Yes? I had my own mind. My flesh did not want to heed what my parents were telling me to do, though it was good for me. Yeah? But at that moment, no, I had other things to do. It was time for me to go out and play football or run around the whole village doing nothing. But for me, that was okay. That was my program for the day. What my mom had planned for me was clashing with my program. She would say these things, I would listen to them with my ears. But was I really hearing what she was saying? I gave her a hard time, the poor woman. Yeah. Why did Jesus say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear"? Why? There are two types of hearers. There are those who receive the word of God day in, day out, either through street preachers, maybe they attend church on a regular basis, or whatever way. But when they receive that word, the word passes right through their ears. From one ear comes out the other side. Yes? Is that true? Say something, it goes through here and comes out the other side. And there are those who truly listen and seek understanding from the word of God. Our challenge today is, which category do we lie in? Are we those who receive the word of God, goes in through one ear and comes out the other? Or are we those who truly listen and seek understanding from the word of God? Yeah? Are we hearers? Verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them?" Who them? The Pharisees and the Jews. Why do you speak to them in parables? Why do you speak to them in simple stories? Why? He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, of heaven." Yeah? "But to them it has not been given." Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What are these mysteries he was talking about? The mysteries were things previously hidden, but now revealed to the disciples. He had chosen to systematically reveal these things to specifically his disciples, but not to the multitudes, not to the Jews and the Pharisees. Yeah? Some people believe that they were the mystery, these mysteries were the mysteries of the future, of what Christ was going to go through, his crucifixion and death and resurrection. And others believe that these mysteries were even went as far as the messianic rule, the messianic reign. Yes? He systematically revealed these things to them so that they would know about the future. Yes? This was such a blessing that he opened their eyes, he opened their ears, and they were able to discover these things. The rest of the people were in limbo. It may sound very unfair, right? Thinking, but why? Yeah? Mysteries are secrets. Yes? Namely, divine plans for the future that he reveals to his elect. Are we his elect? Are you God's elect? Or do you have to be a prophet? Huh? Special prophet who's honored today, yeah, to receive these mysteries from God. Paul defined a mystery in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, where he wrote, "The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints." Hallelujah. Yes, the mysteries that had been hidden, yes, had now been revealed, yes, to his saints. They had been manifested. Paul was seeing the manifestation of these ministries, these mysteries in the saints. Yeah? The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven were not things that were impossible to comprehend. Jesus was speaking in parables, but he wasn't speaking in a language that was impossible for these people to understand. We may think he made it very complicated for the layman to understand, so therefore you can't blame him. No, not necessarily. He spoke in simple English, but he spoke in such a way that only those who were desperately seeking him, wanted to know about him and his kingdom, would understand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. They were not those mysteries that he was talking about were not impossible to comprehend. Sometimes we read the Bible and we just can't understand what God is saying. But the Bible is not complicated. It is a very simple book. But in order for you to understand, comprehend what it is saying, you have to have the desire, the genuine desire. You have to invest time in finding out about him who wrote the Bible, number one. Yes, the one who inspired, okay, all these guys to write the Bible, Jesus Christ. You have to have a desire to have a personal relationship with him. You must have a personal relationship with him in order for you to understand what he's saying. Hallelujah. What does that say about the multitudes? Most of them did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why all these things that he was saying were mysteries. The only people who were privileged to understand these things at that particular time were the disciples. Some commentators think that to the disciples it was given them these truths because they had to carry the gospel around the world. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah? They had a special task. They had specifically been set aside so that they would go and spread the gospel. Now, shall we say that these guys were just chosen at random? Yeah? They were so lucky they were just chosen at random, you know? And somehow God controlled them and he revealed these mysteries to them and they went out and they preached the gospel and they performed all these miracles. Do you believe that God picks people at random? Do you believe so? I believe he first looked at their hearts, right? He looked at the character of their hearts and he knew that these were people who he was going to be able to use. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In order for us to understand these mysteries, what kind of character do we have in our hearts? Yeah? God is not just going to overload us with all this information or this power or whatever it is or this anointing simply because he has picked us at random. He first looks at the character of our hearts. What are our hearts saying to him? Are our hearts moldable? Are we usable? Yes? Even Judas was usable. He had a purpose, yeah, for which he was chosen. Hallelujah. Yes, that is something that we need to examine. Before God blesses us with whatever blessings we need, before God blesses us with enlightenment or whatever we are requiring from him, what kind of character do we have in there? Yeah, the 12 disciples were handpicked by Jesus. One of them was Satan himself. The rest were men that God was going to use to transform this world. Yeah? He set them aside and he systematically taught them for 3.5 years and he discipled them and all these mysteries were revealed slowly to them. Yeah? But to them it has not been given. We continue with that verse. But to them who? The Pharisees, the Jews, they were generally not prepared for it. They were not prepared for any of these mysteries that the Lord Jesus Christ had to wanted to reveal to them. Even if he had revealed them to them, can you imagine they would not have believed? They wouldn't have believed. I think at this point he was thinking, I'm not going to cast my pearls at swine. They were hard-hearted. They were caught up in their own sets of beliefs, in their own set of rules. anything that Jesus said to them, they wouldn't have believed. And therefore, he purposely taught in a way they did not understand. It was very simple, but he taught it in a way that they wouldn't understand unless they had the Spirit of God in them. Hallelujah! Do we have the Spirit of God abiding in us, teaching us, growing us, or are we just there? Shells. Yeah. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him more will be given. How, my Lord? How many times have we had this scripture being misquoted? Yes? For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. Who is like me? And so many times in the past, every time you read this scripture, you're thinking of riches and blessings. Don't be shy. It's okay. Right? You're thinking, whoever has, to him more will be given. Yeah? You have to blame yourself because you don't have. Yes? Yeah? And we're thinking, no wonder the rich are thriving. No wonder the rich are prospering. Now it makes sense. God is just giving them more and more and more. Really? Jesus is not he wasn't a scatterbrain. Definitely he isn't a scatterbrain today. He had a topic. He had a context. He was coming from somewhere. He's not the kind, because many times we don't meditate on what the Word of God is saying. Our minds tend to jump from one thing to another within the same text. And then we misquote the Bible. Right? It's like Jesus, and many times I used to think Jesus would say this, and then he'd get off that point and immediately say something else, and then jump. But it was just simply my lack of understanding. Right? Jesus was still talking about the mysteries. Hallelujah. Not the money. Not the material blessings. Yeah? He was talking about the knowledge and understanding that comes from heaven, from reading and understanding the Word of God. But to them, yeah? No, for whoever has, to him more will be given. For whoever has truth and understanding from God, he will be given more. And this will be a blessing to him. Hallelujah. Yes? And he will have abundance. Ha! At that point, you'd see people claiming, I receive abundance, I receive abundance. And you're thinking, what riches? No! He's talking about truth and understanding. He's talking about the knowledge, yes, of his word and his ways that he will use through you to impact the world for his glory, for the extension of his kingdom. What can be more glorious than that? Riches? Really? Land that is going to be burnt up. 3/4 of this earth will be destroyed. People will hold their land titles and all that in their hands and they won't believe when they see the earth being destroyed. They have invested so much in this earth. Yeah? And suddenly 3/4 of this earth is destroyed. And then how can Jesus emphasize blessings basing on things that will fade away? Of course, he wants to bless us materially, but that is not the basis for his teaching. That was never the basis for his teaching. A lot of teachers, pastors have misquoted his words. They have based their preachings of prosperity on his teachings, which is so off the point. There is no way our Lord and Savior would focus on something that was going to perish. Something that he was planning on destroying in the near future. Does that make sense? Unless he's a mad person. Right? Does that make sense? No. It doesn't make sense. And he will have abundance. He will have over and above understanding, wisdom, truth, power from the Holy Spirit. We saw that when Peter, yes, on the day of Pentecost, yes, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what happened? This simple fisherman who was not necessarily untrained, he sat under the master for 3 years, but he couldn't have attained all that knowledge within a space of 3 years. Maybe he was that clever. But judging from the decisions he made those 3 years, you can tell he wasn't a very clever person. Maybe he was, but he was a very rash person. But suddenly, he starts teaching. And how many people? Over 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ that day. He could quote the scriptures. Yes? He had. And even when Christ left and the Holy Spirit came, more was given to him. And he taught, and people were blessed, and he was blessed. And they gave their lives to Christ. Abundance given. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. These were all gifts that he gave to his people. Yeah? For the equipping of the saints, not for the enriching of their pockets. Right? But for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Yes? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all these things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Wow, that's a mouthful. But if you sit down and study that text, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, it's connected to what we have just been talking about. Verse 12, we continue with our text. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Some scholars believe this was with reference to the non-believers. You're a non-believer, even the little grace that has been accorded you will be taken away. The privilege of entering the kingdom of God will also be taken away. 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. You will not perceive. You will not discern. There won't be any discernment in you. There is no spirit of discernment. You will not recognize what God is trying to tell you. You will not realize what he's trying to instill in you. You will not understand what he's trying to say. 15. For the hearts of these people, the Jews and the Pharisees, have grown dull. How have they grown dull? They have hardened. Yeah? That is what one version of the Bible says. They have hardened. Yes? Their hearts have hardened. Another version says, waxed gross. Yes? Waxed gross. Has any of you encountered that version? Yes? Waxed growth. Gross. Meaning, fatty degeneration has surrounded their hearts. When fatty degeneration surrounds your heart, if you're overweight, you're not working out, There's accumulation of oils in your body. When those oils are not put to use, there's what we there's a term called lethargy. You feel lazy. You don't want to do anything. You just don't want to do anything. So you put in those oils. You start growing bigger. Your heart is surrounded by all this fat. Yes, the oil is sitting in your body. It is not being put to use. So it becomes fat. It covers your heart. When it covers your heart, the blood vessels are blocked. They can't take blood to your heart. What happens? Your heart starts dying. Heart attack is imminent. Yeah. We have to work out. 2018. Hey. You hear what I'm saying? That is a very vivid explanation of what waxed growth is. When your heart is dull, when your heart is hardened, it is covered with a layer of fat that is impenetrable. Cannot be penetrated. Yes? It is calloused. What are calluses? For those who play guitar, as you play, after some time, your fingers develop calluses so that you don't feel all the pain as you squeeze the strings to produce sound. And our body is amazing. Who tells the body, now you produce calluses here? Yeah? After some time, the body realizes that there's a lot of activity. It tries to protect the fingers from the strings. Unfortunately, even our hearts develop calluses. We try to protect our ways. We try to protect our wills. We keep out the will of God. Hallelujah. Yes. Calloused. Dense. Something dense, something heavy and hard cannot be penetrated. Close-minded. A good example of someone with a dull heart, a hardened heart, was Judas Iscariot. Judas had earthly and material expectations of position and wealth and power from the Messiah. Isn't it interesting that what Judas was fighting for over 2,000 years ago is what is still being preached today? Yeah? Times have not changed. Everything that was back in the day is just being recycled. Judas is a perfect example of so many of our pastors today who are preaching on these pulpits. Yes? Material expectations. Position and standing. These days you don't go to Church of the Redeemed Saints of the Apostolic Age of the Spiritual Reunion. You go to St. Paul's Church or whoever's church. Churches are identified by their pastors. Hallelujah. Why? Because these pastors want position. They want their churches to be associated with their names, not them being associated with their churches. Hallelujah. You see that? That is where Judas was coming from. This was a sign of a hardened heart. Yeah? Judas wanted wealth and power. Yes? What are the marks these days of successful pastors coming from successful churches? They're all driving huge cars. Yeah? They tell you there must be something wrong with your ministry. The anointing, there's no anointing in that ministry. Why? The pastor is driving a small car. The pastor is walking. These are the same things Judas expected from the Messiah. Power. The pastor speaks and people fall. The pastor speaks and people are healed. That's all they wanted. And that's all Judas was vying for. And what happened? He lost everything. He became so pride-filled, he couldn't even say, I'm sorry, my focus is totally off. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I repent. No. But he carried his pride and his disappointment up to the point of death. He took his own life. These roots that are popular, these teachings that are popular, yes, fill our hearts with pride. That pride stays in our hearts for a long time, creates calluses, creates a hardening around our hearts. It's impossible for us to even repent and say, I'm sorry, I misled you. Until we commit suicide. Spiritual suicide. And that's where most of these pastors, unfortunately, are heading today. Heaven, I keep saying, is not for the majority. Yes? You remember the multitudes I talked about? Multitudes. What did the Bible say? Where is it? And large multitudes of people gathered together to him. Yes? Large multitudes. But all these guys had not received the mysteries of the heavenlies. Had they? Why? Because Jesus knew they wouldn't receive what he was going to teach them. So it doesn't matter how many people are going to this church, how many people are going to that church, and maybe only 400 are coming to Calvary Chapel. We don't care. Because even the multitudes in the Bible, yeah, most of them just came to Jesus because he was feeding them. Having numbers, having big cars is not a measure of success, how successful a church is. It's the quality of disciples that come from that church. Jesus had 12. 11 of them impacted the whole world up to this day. He did not use the multitude, did he? Was he afraid that if I don't preach things that these people want to hear, they will all walk away and desert me? They eventually did. When he gave them a very hard topic, when he gave them the word, yes, the way it was, they ran away and even asked his disciples, are you also going to desert me? Yeah, and they asked him, so if we desert you, where will we go? That should be our attitude. Yeah, without Jesus, where will we go? But we cannot follow the masses. Yeah, you look at all these charlatans, these liars on TV, deceiving the masses. They have 20,000 people in their congregations or whatever. And you're thinking, but surely, these people here, they must be on the right path. Why? Because their churches are big and successful. Their pastors are blessed. And there are many. All you have to do is go back to the Bible and remember the multitudes of people who are looking for Jesus just because he fed them. And when he gave them his word, they ran away. Hallelujah. Judas was a good example of the Jews and Pharisees who did not were not hearing what God was saying. For 3.5 years, imagine the privilege of sitting under Jesus for 3.5 years and you don't hear anything that he's saying. What a waste. What would Paul have given up to be under Christ? Bible continues to say, their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Their ears are hard of hearing. They are sticking their fingers inside their ears. Their ears are filled with wax. Wax. You know how you shove a Q-tip in there and you're like, goodness gracious, what creature is this coming out of my ear? Yes? You can imagine what their ears were like, packed with wax. Their eyes are hard of, their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes, they have closed. Not someone has closed their ears for them or closed their eyes. They have closed their own ears and eyes. They are deliberately refusing to see and to hear, lest otherwise, yes? Otherwise, they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. God forbid that they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. It's deliberate. They're deliberately refusing to hear. Can you imagine? That's what the Bible says. Lest otherwise they should understand with their hearts and turn. They are so engulfed in their ways, in their sin, in their callousness, in their denseness, in their waxiness that they are like, no, if I hear, I will change. Therefore, I will not hear. Can you imagine? It is deliberate. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. My goodness. Our God is merciful. What does 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 say? The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He's not slow concerning his promises. As some count slackness. Yes? But is long-suffering towards us. He's patient, extremely patient with us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you remember how God hardened Pharaoh's heart? It wasn't his desire that Pharaoh should perish. Right? According to the word of God. According to 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. It's never his desire. He's patient with people. Unfortunately, there are those people who, God knows the present, he knows the past, he knows the future, right? And he knows there are those who will not repent, unfortunately. Pharaoh was such a character. So he used him. He used his hard-heartedness, he even made it harder, so that he would manifest himself. He would show his power to the people of Egypt and to the rest of the world, and he would receive the glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Yeah? But it is not his desire that any should perish, but that they should come to repentance. He wanted them to know. He wanted them to know. But they had deliberately closed their eyes and closed their ears. 16. But blessed are you, your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. But blessed are your spiritual eyes, for they see the truth in the word of God, and your ears listen and obey. There is listening, there is hearing, but not obeying. But the disciples were listening and they were obeying. They were hearing, they were obeying. All those who accepted the Lord were blessed. All we who accept the Lord are blessed. 17, for assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand. The word understand here means does not consider. He does not consider, the word of the kingdom. He is hard-hearted and is not interested. That's basically what Jesus is saying here. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, does not consider it, is refusing to put it in his heart, then the wicked one, who is Satan, comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Hallelujah. Yeah? I love this man. First gives them this, but then he comes and then he explains. Verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Eh? Where did this sister go? She used to be so excited about the word of God. She used to serve in church. She was here all the time encouraging people and all that. But after about a year, she's disappeared. We don't know where she is. I hear she is, doing business, and she's not in church anymore. She had so much joy. How is it that right now she's not serving God? Stony places. This is someone who has no root. They are not spiritual roots. Verse 21 says, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. We don't receive a lot of persecution and tribulation because of the word nowadays, where they are saying, if you're a Christian, we get you preaching Christianity, you're going to die. Well, not in this country, at least. Some other countries, yes. But the word is, our faith is still being persecuted. It's being persecuted with lies, subtle lies, lies that come in slowly and distract us and detract us from the way of God. Lies that are spread using the word of God. Yeah? Most of us don't even know that we are being persecuted. We don't know that it is very subtle. It is more dangerous than the persecution where they put your head there, they grab an axe, and chwa! At least you're seeing that people are being persecuted. Either you run and forget the faith, or you put your head there and say, I'm going to die for Jesus. Everything was straightforward back then. But now, Satan is no longer using those tactics all over the world. In a few places, the Islamic world is still using those tactics. Yes? But in the rest of the world, he's using a form of persecution that is even more deadly than physical death, because he's trying to destroy the soul. Hallelujah. He's going through subtle ways of finding a way to destroy our souls and our spirits so that we end up in hell. They cut so many Christians' heads back in the day. They burnt them on posts, used them as lanterns at night, used them for sport with the gladiators, the lions. They killed them, but they realized, Satan, I'm sure, realized that, wait a minute, we are killing them, but their numbers are just growing. Right? Physical death does not scare them anymore. No matter how many times we kill them, they are still thriving. They are growing. The church is spreading. We are persecuting them. The church is just growing bigger. And then he came up with another strategy. Okay, now let us aim for their souls. Let us be subtle in our ways. Let us blend in with them. Let us grow with them in their churches. For 20, 30 years, we shall just blend in there. But we shall kill them slowly. Kill them slowly. Kill them slowly. At the end of the day, they will be rejected. And then we will have won, because we will have taken their souls from them. No root. What kind of people are these? These are people or disciples who begin well but fail to continue following the Lord faithfully. Some will say, are they saved or are they not saved? That is not the point, really. Yeah? But some teachers and scholars believe these are believers who eventually just get lost. But that is a debate for another time. Ultimately, you don't want to be that person with no roots all over the place looking for this miracle, this prophet. What kind of teaching, what kind of doctrine are you receiving? Is it consistent? No, you're all over the place. One Sunday you're attending this topic, another Sunday you're attending this topic. It's just a mess. No roots. 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the words, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I read that there are three enemies of fruitfulness: the devil, the flesh, and the world. Many times we open a door to the devil in our lives and we don't even know. I definitely don't want to open a door to the devil in my life, because that is a door that is very hard to shut. But many times we do, because we care so much about the world and what it has to provide. And the devil uses that as an avenue to choke us, to make us fruitless. 1 Peter, verse 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil. The flesh. Are we indulging our flesh too much? Everything your flesh desires, you're thinking, I definitely need to feed my flesh. If I don't take care of myself, who will take care of me? Right? Huh? Nino kwetu alako out, see? I eat my money. After all, I'm the one who has made it. Siacho? Huh? I need nice shoes, nice clothes. And brother, suppose you cannot afford those things. What do you mean, suppose I can't afford those things? You have to find a way to afford them. You do whatever you have to do to afford these things. Otherwise, how will they look at you, a representative of Christ? You're there, broke all the time. Me, broke Christians, I am tired of them. Bantama. Have you heard talk like that? Yeah? The cares of this world come in and choke you. The flesh. We want to feed the flesh. Now, don't get me wrong. The things I was talking about are not bad things. It's not bad to have nice shoes. It's not bad to go out. But these things cannot consume you at the expense of the word of God or the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Yes? Romans chapter 7 verse 18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Can you imagine? Not that I do, but I practice. I am practicing evil. "Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Hallelujah. Are we caught up in the ways of the world? 1 John chapter 2, 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, let us go home and meditate on 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Let us read it over and over again. All right, Matthew, verse 23. "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We have to ask ourselves, brethren, as I conclude, what fruit are we producing? Are we producing any fruit? Do you even know what fruit is? What is fruit? What is the fruit that he's talking about? What is the fruit? Everything done in true partnership with Christ is fruit. Simple as that. Everything done in true partnership with Christ is fruit. Everything you do together with Christ is fruit. Because whatever Christ does in you, through you, is good. Right? Whatever he does through you is fruitful and bears more and more fruit. That is a no-brainer. The Lord living his life through ours to yield what is eternal is bearing fruit. I say that again. The Lord living his life through ours to yield what is eternal is bearing fruit. In other words, everything that he does as he's alive in us for eternity's sake, to get people into heaven forever, everything that he does towards that direction is bearing fruit. Specifically, this fruit that the Bible is talking about. Hallelujah. It's easy to get them mixed up and think because you have a thriving business and you're supporting your relatives, that is fruit. It's not a bad thing. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Hallelujah. He is the true vine, and his Father is the vine dresser. Therefore, we must bear fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may be more fruitful. Hallelujah. I'm praying that we have ears. And I'm praying that we will hear what the Spirit of God is saying right now in our lives and every day of our lives. Let us not get our ears clogged up with all the kelele that is coming from the world. Let us not get caught up by the desires of this flesh. Let us not be deceived by the devil. Because he's such a liar. He's a father of lies. We have to stay alert. People, Christ is coming back. I don't think 50, maybe even 20 years will pass without him coming back. I'm that confident that he'll come back maybe in 20 years, even less. Now, don't go and start saying that Pastor Kenny prophesied that Christ is coming back in what? 20, what? 37, 38? Or 40? Is it 30 or 40? Whatever it is. But I am that confident that he's coming back within 20 years. I'm confident. That is my confidence. And I hope that confidence will teach me to live like he's coming back tomorrow. Will teach me to prepare for his return. That I will be ready. I won't be caught off guard. That he won't say, you are not hearing. But I did all this in your name. I cast out demons. I prophesied. I performed miraculous signs and wonders. Go away from me, for I did not know you. How terrible. Hallelujah. Can we please stand? Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for its simplicity. Thank you so much for the truth, the hard-hitting truth. Thank you, O God, for the life-changing truth that we find in your word each time we read, O God. Thank you, O God, that we are challenged every time we listen to your word to be more like you, Jesus, to abide in your ways, walk in your ways, O Father. May our ears hear. May our eyes see. May we respond to your Spirit positively, O God. May your will be done in our lives, O God. May we be your ambassadors everywhere we go. May your light shine. May we be the salt, the light of this world, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Give us journey mercies as we travel back home. Keep us safe. May we not fret, may we not fear, but may we look to you with expectation. Help us to be ready for your return, for I believe in my heart that that time is soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.